There was one time, Srila Prabhupada, they said, will Lord Chaitanya spread the mission through his disciple, through the disciple, your disciples? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, he will spread the mission in spite of the disciples. So it seems like that's also an element.
Well, sometimes we get it in the way. And, despite all the things that we do to Srila Prabhupada's movement and Lord Chaitanya's movement, still it spreads. Wasn't the tree line higher here that some trees got cut out over here?
This one turns out some of them being blown over into the land in GP's garden, and it was a bit fighting for GP in the house. It's going to have to take them down.
Just crossed my mind that we had this Varanga campaign years ago, and I'm not really sure, would you consider that a deviation from what Prabhupada wanted? It's not
chanting Hare Krishna, it's chanting Varanga. It was, I would have preferred Hare Krishna, but I don't think it was something that was actually essentially wrong. It had, it certainly gave people a lot of spiritual benefit, and people really knew. Ultimately, I think they connected with us. Of what it was. So Amar Agyog Guru. Morinam. So Morinam means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, Krishna's name, since Lord Chaitanya is saying it, but he's both. So it has scriptural authenticity context. I don't think it was wrong. The real thing is how to actually convert it and take it further to becoming chanting Hare Krishna. I would say that when it became Nitai, then that was unnecessary. Because the Lord Nitai didn't say anything like that. So, but... We want people to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, but it needs a transition. How does that bring people into Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna? Because ultimately our business is to get people to chant Hare Krishna. Even though chanting Gauranga is in one sense more potent than chanting Hare Krishna. Because says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gaura Anga is the same as Radha Krishna. But when you say Radha Krishna, you can make offenses. And when you say Gauranga, you make no offenses. So, therefore, your advancement in chanting Gauranga is easier. But Lord Chaitanya wanted us to chant Krishna's name, not his name. So on that basis, that's where the whole tripping point or the Gauranga campaign was, is that if people don't end up chanting Hare Krishna from this, then it's not valuable, because it's not what Lord Chaitanya wanted. If it does, then it works. Certainly, it's beneficial. But ultimately, as a mission, what is it that we want to be? And so we're neither the Prabhupada movement, neither with the Gauranga movement, or the Hare Krishna movement. So we're neither a personality cult, neither. So we're what they wanted us to be, not what we want someone to be.
So
trust the procedure, then if you see a deviation or you think a deviation, then how do you address that? If you see someone from another area, maybe you don't think the way he's doing it.
Well, we have a process. One is that you communicate to people and you try to understand, you argue, you see if you're convinced, then you try and convince them of the opposite. That's the personal approach, and the institutional approach is through appealing to authorities and having other authorities investigate and look into the subject. Because it'll come. It's coming, it'll come. It's as long as there's deviations come through two things: sex life, attachment to sex life, and maya bad. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these are the causes of the upper sampradayas in various different variations and combinations. So as long as we're conditioned souls, then we have the tendency to make mistakes. A tendency to be illusion. So as long as you have the tendency to be illusions and the tendency to make mistakes, when you start incorporating that and institutionalizing that, then that then becomes a deviation. When you institutionalize or incorporate that into your practices or into your preaching, then you deviate from the norm. And the one of the drawbacks of institution is that institutions reinforce things. If it goes unchecked, then it starts to spread. It's like a machine. I don't know, if you got a machine that's stamping coins, and the coin's got a mistake, and it's just stamping all these coins with all the mistakes on it. It's a different thing than when one person is like just minting a coin at a time. So institution is very powerful for spreading Krishna consciousness, but if you throw something else in it, then it also spreads that. And because, like you said, you know, in spite of us, Krishna consciousness is spreading. Because we're conditioned souls, because we make mistakes, that's why we need to be very careful, especially if we're going to do something different. As long as we're doing the same thing, then it's not so much of a problem. But when we do something different, then we have to be really sure that what we're doing different is something that is not a product of our own shortcomings, but is something that Srila Prabhupada would approve of doing something different. So just like there was no Bhakti Riksha in Prabhupada's time, but now there's Bhakti Riksha, so it's something different. Now what is that thing that's different? And if it's very clear that this is something that's in line with what Srila Prabhupada wants, then it's fine, because Prabhupada also wanted things to be different. He wanted us to actually, he built a framework, but he wanted us to then flesh it out. So that'll be different. We have to be very cautious. We're not. We just can't do things like that, because we're not transcendentalists. So we're not acting on the transcendental platform where we're free of defect. So for that reason, it's very important to be very careful. We need to be knowledgeable, and we need to be very careful.
Yeah, in the same context, sometimes there's a competition that Bhakti Vrishcha is better than, you know, what you, there's other preaching. Like, we find that in our own namatas, we have Bhakti Vrishchas. And then be following Srila Prabhupada in the
other days,
and there's almost like a competition.
That's all right. That's also all right. In other words, it doesn't mean that doing the right thing is just a linear thing, and it's just one facet. There's Bhakti Briksha, there's one way, we used to call it Namhata, it was somewhat different. Now there's the counselor system, which is very different. I think all of those were fine, but they do things differently. And some the question is, are some better than others? And if they are, then we may want to do that which is better than something else. Or do they play different roles? In other words, are they meant to be parallel things, or are they complementary? You've got elementary school, you've got grade school, you've got university. So it's not that one's better than the other. They're all essential for the different stages of development. So what's Bhakti Riksha, what's Namhata? And just like when we're doing it in Hungary, we also bring in people and you get them in. But it's one thing dealing with people who haven't really made commitments to Krishna consciousness, and it's something else, which is providing counseling for committed devotees, serious devotees, who are already chanting at least 8 rounds of following regulated principles. And how are they going? You can't mix the two. When you mix them, then you always fall down to the lowest common denominator. Or you're talking above someone else's head. You know, you're talking above the newcomer, or if you just talk to the newcomer, then someone's been around for 15 years, he's got other needs. So that's, and there's variety. There's variety in spiritual life as well. So there's so much variety in Krishna's realm. There's no problem with that either. So there's many ways to do the right thing.
Srila Prabhupada encouraged all his disciples to write books. And sometimes I myself with a distribution of Prabhupada's books would be more helpful for people to read books by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, which will help them to understand Srila Prabhupada's books to kind of bridge the gap.
It just depends on how it affects the book distribution. ISKCON's main business is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And although Prabhupada said that all of his followers should write books and so many other things, but if that interferes with distribution of Prabhupada's books, then it shouldn't be done. And similarly, devotees should read so many books, not just Prabhupada's followers, but acharyas, so many books to read. But we shouldn't read them at the cost of reading Prabhupada's books. More or less, Prabhupada's books is a constant sadhana. So you read Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita, and then you read Prabhupada's lectures and so on. So to be always in touch with Prabhupada, because whatever else you read, you need to translate it into Prabhupada's vision. And if you don't read Prabhupada's books regularly, then you may lose the vision. Someone will start thinking, well, Jiva Goswami said this and Prabhupada said something else, so Jiva Goswami must be right. But that's how it works. I mean, whatever Prabhupada said, he's already processed what Jiva Goswami said, so we need to know how it is. So that's our main focus, main emphasis is that. It's called law books, and it's called foundation. But yes, by all means, devotees should write, and not just because we're writing for other people, but because actually writing is very good bhajan. That's how you get to ultimately Prabhupada's books are generally, if not always, a source of reference. And then when as a last point, when we're referring to Prabhupada, then we also need to know that not everything that Srila Prabhupada has said has the same weight as evidence. Because Srila Prabhupada wrote books, Srila Prabhupada gave Bhagavatam classes, Srila Prabhupada had conversations, and Srila Prabhupada wrote letters. Very often Srila Prabhupada's letters are, for instance, used in the same way as Prabhupada, as what Prabhupada said and wrote in his books. That can't be, unfortunately, first of all, we don't even know very often what the context of those letters are and what Prabhupada's replying to. There's no particular indication that Prabhupada ever even wanted those letters available. That was like something after Prabhupada's disappearance. They have value, but we should keep in perspective that Prabhupada's message to the world is in his books. Mm. And his books means Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita. And those are the first class evidence. And then Prabhupada spoke directly from his books, gave classes in public to many people. Again, very strong. And then Prabhupada had conversations. And then Prabhupada wrote letters to each individual. This is also the way Prince Jagadvedi Maharaj gave a whole introduction of some Veda base about these levels of evidence. Prabhupada's letters are in terms of evidence, fourth in that category. It's not that what Prabhupada said is wrong, it's not wrong. But Prabhupada himself says, you know, you can say any damn thing. Think 100 times before you write it down. Once you write it down, that's it. And there were many things that Srila Prabhupada had said, and then he said to a small circle of followers. And the first two and the middle two things, books, lectures, and conversations, were taped, and Prabhupada was well aware that they were taped. But the letters were all private. They were sent privately to individuals. They were not sent out to the rest of the society. There were 50 letters that Prabhupada wrote to the society when he had some missive, when he had some instruction that he wanted to give to everyone. So we need to really keep that in perspective as to what Prabhupada's words are when they're in the context of his letters. Answering a certain person in certain circumstances. And the thing is, we don't have the letters that Prabhupada's replying to. So following it, and that's also part of following Srila Prabhupada. And that's, again, becomes another challenge. How do you balance these different things that Srila Prabhupada said? Just like if I now say, okay, everyone turn off the tape recorders, then that's obviously not something that's meant to be going out beyond what's here. So people, we say, you know, different things to different audiences at different times, and some is meant for all time, all place, everyone, and others are for some people at some time, some circumstances, and some things are just between you and me. They're all relevant. It's just a question of the time, place, and circumstance that they're relevant in. So these are real wonderful challenges in terms of, you know, understanding Srila Prabhupada's personality. And the more that we go into that, then the more we're in touch with Prabhupada, and the more we know him. I have reached my sitting limit.
Just 1 minute, please, in this context. about some people argue that promoting one's own book is self-indulgent. What would you say to that? Especially Prabhupada's followers.
I hope not, because that's what I'm just going to be doing.
She's making a point.
Well, before I came here, I got that from some devotees at the land. I couldn't give them an answer. I don't know what to say.
Well, my, sort of mission or main business in the last 40 years has been to promote Prabhupada's books. So that's one thing. The other is that yes, when I'm not coming here just to promote. That's sort of part of the people who are promoting me. I'm coming here to England, like I usually come to England. So I'm not coming on a book tour, but they happen in order to emphasize the books. They're doing that. I come anyway. I came here to see devotees. And what I usually do, but I'm going to speak from that, and I'm also going to make that available to devotees to purchase. So again, what's the balance? Bhagavatam. Any Bhagavatam. Take out the Bhagavatam. And look what it says on the cover.
First one.
Huh?
First one is here.
Any, just any Bhagavatam.
Maharishi Srila Prabhupada, when he arrived in America, he brought his own books and he was selling some excuses for more books.
Yeah.
And then his disciples also were
promoting. Look, Srimad Bhagavatam, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Where's Vyasadeva here? Who's Srimad Bhagavatam? Who wrote Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada didn't write it. Vyasadeva wrote it. Just commentary. Doesn't even say commentary, but the impression this gives is that Prabhupada wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not saying it's wrong, it's perfect. Inside it says. And so the Prabhupada asked us to write books. So ultimately we write books, then what do? You just like put them on a shelf somewhere. So you got to do something, but certainly we shouldn't write books at the detriment of Prabhupada's books being distributed, not being distributed, Prabhupada's books being neglected, and that, and particularly, see, really, if someone's only business in life is to write his own books. But if devotees have really spent their whole Krishna consciousness, both personally distributing and getting other people to distribute Prabhupada's books, then this is also part of what Prabhupada says in his books, because even in his books he says that this is actually our business, this is our family business. So we need to distribute it. And I can't hide the fact that that's incorporated in why I'm here. I've come every year since I haven't been the GBC of UK and visited temples.
Question wasn't for you, Gurmanj.
Well, no, but it can apply to me like, just as regular as to someone else.
Gurmanj, done a few Maharaj, so many Maharajas, they go with their own books. So.
Anyway, but that's the test. It's not all that they do. But once you write a book, then certainly there, it's one thing to get someone else to promote it. But when you promote it personally, then that's what makes it happen. But Prabhupada's book distribution shouldn't decrease. That's the main thing. So BBT is the main printing house, and that should also go on. How many Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's books did Srila Prabhupada print? Only one. His Brahma Samhita. And this is, I only realized this after Prabhupada was around with Prabhupada to see how to live like that, so Prabhupada wanted to flip to Vyasadeva's name here on the title. It's inside Vyasa, and the cover inside, then it says like that. Not on everyone. It says Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna Dwaipar Vyas. And that's the first. But the next one, again, Srimad Bhagavatam, with the original text, etc., and doesn't say Vyasadeva. Yeah, it's just one place. It says, I'm sure Vyasadeva is not upset.